Are you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, because it's no bullshit news.
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news.
Like most of your stories, it's false.
No bullshit news.
Hot dog. Yeah, no shit, no shame in my game.
No bullshit news.
No bullshit news.
No bullshit.
Listen, if you can't sleep, get the news. You want the news, you lock it in here. Is that right, Jason?
Absolutely.
How do you do that thing again? How do you subscribe to this shit?
So go to the website, nobsnewshour.com, and click the links on the right-hand side for iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or whatever your platform is of choice. Okay. You can say, hey, Google, let me listen to the No BS News Hour.
Yeah, No BS News Hour. Hi, Karen.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. You know we lost another friend. Gretchen Whitmer, I've been told by her people, will not be appearing on the No Bullshit News Hour until after the election. Nor will Garland.
Soars.
Gilchrist.
Your popularity soars, Charlie.
Which is, that means you're just ducking the tough questions. Because as you all know, the talk of the town this week was the story that we did on Deadline Detroit about her pick for lieutenant governor and a shabby rundown house he purchased and seemed to have gotten special privileges for and didn't get all the required permitting. And that guy was ducking and dodging.
To say the least.
He really was, dude. It's like, it tells you how stupid shit is when that's what the media is getting crazy over. Because they didn't vet anybody.
I'm going back to the 50% employee discount.
Yeah.
That's the thing that freaks me out.
See, because that's the thing about the new Detroit. Like, you want to purchase some land from the city, which gave it to this sort of autonomous land bank. If you work for the city, you get a 50% discount at auction, which means basically nobody's got a chance.
How can you compete?
And you're right.
You can't.
And then the mayor said, like, this was to entice people to move back.
Did it go to auction?
It went to auction.
It went to auction?
Yep. Okay. Except he got it for half the price the guy that was going against him was offering. So, you know, that guy can't win. Maybe that guy had finance. Anyways, this is the 35-year-old. I've got no political record, no real business record. Her pick, black guy from Detroit. So it was she needed a black guy from Detroit because she didn't even take Detroit in the primaries. That was Shree the monkey killer. He did. Well, he killed monkeys.
Poor Shree. He spent so much money.
Well, but it's cultural.
I know. Is it?
What?
I don't know.
The fuck are you talking about? Send the letters to Bob. I didn't say that. Bob. Yeah, but anyway, Shree won. You know, he's a Democrat. He's a Republican. He's bankrupt. He's not. She's real weak in Detroit. So this guy was supposed to bolster her. And then nobody bothered looking at the guy. Got no record. Nobody looked. So I looked. And we produced this a little bit so you all can get caught up as to what we're doing.
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
What you talking about?
Mr. Gilchrist, fix the damn house.
No bullshit!
Fix the damn house.
Garland Gilchrist II shouldn't fix the damn house. He should give it back to the city. Because if you can't find the money as a private citizen making $137,000 a year to fix the joint up, how is it going to look when you find the money once you're lieutenant governor making just $111,000 a year? Shit. But let's back up a minute.
Get the fuck out of the way!
Gilchrist bought a dilapidated 8-unit apartment from the Detroit Land Bank 2 years ago in the north end of Detroit that is red hot with real estate speculators. Gilchrist had 6 months to fix it up by city rules, but didn't. Somehow, he was allowed to keep the building and was never cited for blight. And now he wants to be your lieutenant governor. I did the story last week, and the local media went nuts.
We caught up with the Democratic lieutenant governor hopeful as he walked in to speak at a Detroit church. And Garland Gilchrist II did what he could to dodge our request.
Can I talk to you after things? We would like to ask you some questions about why you didn't pay the taxes, let the house go.
Gilchrist acted like he was talking on a cell phone. Then he rolled up the car window, and then his driver drove away. Later, he released a wooden video on Twitter, and this guy wants to be your leader.
You know, we hit some bumps along the road of the construction project. You know, we made some honest oversights, and that's all fixed now.
Shit. Even Gretchen Whitmer, the woman who picked him to be her running mate on the Democratic ticket, told local radio host Stephen Henderson that something smelled fishy.
Is he getting preferential treatment? Did he get some preferential treatment in the sense that the land bank did not come in and repossess that property from him? I think that's the concern that lurks in the back of this issue.
I think some of the safety valves failed. And I can't, you know, opine as to what it was that happened, but it does appear that, you know, some of the deadlines should have been enforced and met, and I don't know how or where that fell.
You don't?
Doesn't sound like she does.
It's important to say that Gilchrist bought the building 2 years ago when he worked for Mayor Mike Duggan as a hotshot techie guy. He bought it at a land bank auction for $13,500 using a 50% employee discount. It's also important to say the mayor's office and the land bank are the subjects of a federal corruption probe. Gilchrist is not believed to be part of that probe, but it's not a good look if you're asking for the second highest chair in Michigan.
Did your brother get a ticket for the porch being blighted?
Mm-hmm.
He did? You got a ticket? When did he get that ticket?
Like a couple years ago, but we had got it fixed, and then I had sent another ticket about some payments. I just, man, feel kind of like it's not right, you know, especially living here. I kind of grew up here as a kid, too, so... Make me feel kind of like, dang, it ain't equal around here no more, so.
I just think it's unfair. And there's certain people are getting privileges, special privileges to buy property when they have blight and neglecting people like me and other people for being neglected. Just do the right thing.
Gilchrist has since mowed the front lawn and picked up the moldering mattresses in the backyard. And that's good enough, the land bank said this week. They're going to let him keep the building. But what about the peeling facade and the boarded up windows? Shit.
Fix the damn house.
You got a problem.
Wow.
You got a problem. He keeps that house.
I don't think that's a good look regardless. I don't think an elected official or even a person running for office, I just, even from both sides of it, it just creates a whole nother layer of just issues that I think are better left alone.
Enumerate, what issues?
Well, I mean, if in fact he is the owner of this house, and if there are tenants there, I think that would raise one set of issues. Everybody's going to complain. It, you know, brings up a bad from a PR perspective on that end. But just if there, everything that he would do as an owner would be under increased scrutiny. And so, you know, obviously he has some connections or something that has benefited him as an owner of this property. I don't see that stopping as he elevates in terms of leadership.
You're right. Look, he's got a problem. You can't get financing as a private citizen making more now than you're going to make as lieutenant governor? Where's the financing going to come?
Charlie, that's almost like an athlete, you know? You know what's coming. I mean, and so I'm going to give you the financing. So then you start to look at what is that person going to get on the other side? It's just not a good look. It just creates a whole nother layer that I just think anybody in their right mind would not want.
And you know, as I'm the guy that found this, right? And they're trotting him around as some friendlies for the blowjob stories. And he's a great guy, moved home and raised a family. Yeah. We all did that. I'm going to be on it. I'm going to find out who gave you the finance, what business they have with the state. And now it's before we're even at election day. You got a big issue. You won't let it go. You're telling us it's all fine on the land bank, the governmental wing that's got a lot of problems. Sealed indictments. There are sealed indictments, I'm told. We will go into it more as the weeks roll on. In the land bank, criminal indictments, well, sealed. Wait, no, don't forget this part, though. Let me make that very clear. There's been an ongoing, long-term federal corruption probe into this land bank. You're now stuck with it. You're going to carry that with you to the state house. That's the signal here. Bad look.
So will that replace the furniture issue that Snyder had with his brother-in-law?
It won't, but... And again, more fundamentally, I mean, that's Gilchrist's problem, and he's doing that. what does it say about Whitmer who selected him? You didn't, your organization didn't even vet him to find this out. I mean, it was very easily found out. I mean, as soon as he was selected, you're doing stories about it. So you're, I mean.
Nobody vetted.
Right. What does that tell me about Gretchen Whitmer?
And she doesn't know now.
Right.
Right. What does that say? And again, that's the point, because let's look, people, the problem, a big problem with politics is you, because you treat it like a sport. Like it's your team. Like, I'm getting hammered. Hey, man, it's bigger than that. It's just some blight. It's like, no. Everybody goes through the thresher, right? Whether you like it or not. It's about we the people, not about your party, right? This story was not floated to me by the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, who's running against Ms. Whitmer. It came from work. I have a FOIA and a file about who got this, you know, 50% friends and family plan, because this show, me, Bob, we're the ones that uncorked that land bank graft. We did. So anything that had to do with it, I'm looking at. She announces, I remember it. I remember the name. I go see people I know in the neighborhood. Those are the neighbors, black people that you heard not being treated right. Long term, their whole lives they've lived in that neighborhood. And now they're getting run out. They're getting cited. They're not connected. Doesn't this bother anybody? Isn't this the problem we all agree with politics? But the minute you're faced with it, you want to make excuses for it? Get off my back. I do my work.
But she actually said something completely different when she announced him as her running mate.
Well, let me tell you what I was looking for in a running mate. I wanted someone who's got my back, who's going to work just as hard as I do, that has integrity, that knows how to get things done.
Doesn't sound like he knows how to get things done.
Integrity. Let it go. Look, there's a 13-year-old boy lives next to that thing. 13 years old. What if they catch on fire in a winter, homeless moved in? Because until I did this story, it was wide open. Wide open with shit all over the place.
Nobody was even looking at it.
Right. Now, listen, wherever you're from, whatever color you are, whatever party, you think about your kid living next to that.
Even if you're from Farmington?
Even if you're from Farmington. They'd never put up with it in Farmington.
No, they would not.
Which is where he grew up.
Right.
It's nice you came home and want to be part of Detroit. Me too. But I don't wear it on my sleeve as a banner.
Is it nice you came home to come back to Detroit?
Yeah, it's nice.
To be a slumlord?
Well, no one's living in it. So technically,
whatever, you're blighting the shit out of it.
That's the kind of shit they will pull with me, these politicos. Yeah. Well, he's not a slumlord, or you got factual errors. I say, what? Well, he got permits. He got plumbing and he got electricity.
And he's got boarded up windows.
I didn't say he didn't, but where's the rest of the permits, right? For like raising the thing 8 inches or putting a new roof on or tearing out the interior. We all know. As homeowners, you can't do that stuff without a permit. You got to get permission.
That's true. I got a $200 ticket for putting the leaves out 24 hours ahead of time, and they changed the date in the newsletter. I got a warning. I called the inspector, who had a grammatical error on the ticket, but that's another story. I noticed that.
For putting leaves out?
Karen's fine.
And so I called. She says, well, it was just a warning. I said, well, the date was changed. Do I need to bring them in now? Or, you know, can I leave them out there? She says, well, we probably won't come back. Next day, I get a $200 ticket.
Oh, goddamn.
Now, you've got homes all around, you know, even one is closest next door where there are problems. I get a ticket for cleaning the lawn, but that's how things are now. People are, I don't know, you hear all the stuff that's supposed to be good. Oh, we're citing for blight. Cleaning up a yard is not blight to me.
Okay, and so, here, you need the number, Bob? It's right at the bottom, man. Yours, look, it's underlined.
That was just my 2 cents.
Call Carl. No, but this is the thing. In this 2 years plus since he's had it, he's never been cited once.
Interesting.
How is that? Bro? You work in the water boards. You're active in your community, Jason.
Yeah, that's not right. I mean, cleaning up leaves, like you said, honestly, that's a good thing you're doing. To be fined for that and this gets away with it, that's what I mean by not playing fair. He doesn't have to play by the rules.
Things have to be consistent. Right. That's all you ask. They have to be consistent.
Right.
Okay, so, it's a little thing, I guess, folks, but it's not a little thing to the people in the neighborhood.
It's not a little thing, Charlie. It's not. And it shouldn't be treated as such. You and I were talking before we came on the air. When people hear all the things that you're doing now and that you've always done, which I just categorize as your homework, which is something a lot of people, most people don't do. Now what? You have this information. What does that mean to you as a voter, as a resident? What does that mean? What should it mean?
What's the worst when that's used as a weapon to get the lot next to you away from you, like you were talking to me about the other day?
What in terms of your connection, like how you get property and right. then the neighbor doesn't get property?
Right.
Yeah, we're trying to hook up with such a guy right now. You know, Bob's over there on the phone calling Carl Hagelin. Is Carl on, Bob? You there, Carl?
Yes, hey, how you doing, Carl?
I'm real good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
So look, how far do you live from the Gilchrist House of Hell? About two blocks?
Yeah, about two blocks.
Now, how long you been living there in your family, in your house?
What? We've been here for a long time. Long time. I know at least since that I can know or know that you know, I can recollect back in like 77.
So that's like at least 40 years.
Right.
Okay, and like you're in your grandma's house now, right?
Yes, sir.
And there's a vacant lot next to you, right?
Yes, sir, that my grandma's and them purchased.
They purchased? Right
they purchased, there used to be a little duplex next door. And they had tore it down. They had caught fire and they had tore it down. Then my grandparents and they bought it after then.
And so what happened? You got a fence? Like, tell us what happened to that lot that, you know, the city says you're entitled to get first dibs on it, right?
Yeah, that's what the city said. But it has been in my family for years already. You know what I'm saying? And I was under the impression that when I acquired a home on the taxes from the Michigan Treasury Department, Wayne County Treasury Department, that it was, you know, all the land.
So what's happening to you?
So what these guys now, they're trying to say that, it's not my land. They own the land. They got the deed. You know, they said they bought it.
And you got to...
I don't understand how can you buy it and it's been in my family for years. And you know what I'm saying? We've been taking care of it and everything for years.
And then part of the land, you got a fence on your grandma put on it, right?
Yeah. Right. It was fenced off, you know?
So then they're telling you get the fence off and get your shit off and your cars where you fix cars for a living. You're gone?
No, I'm still here.
No, I mean, they want you off that land.
Right. They want me off the property. You know what I'm saying? They sent the thing in the mail yesterday saying that they even know they about to start doing construction. They own 65-mile Vernon, which we supposed to own 65-mile Vernon.
So nobody wants to make you a deal, like treat you right, like, hey, man.
No, anybody say, hey, we could just get a little sad, you know, be like a little corner or something. They ain't even trying to say that.
What happened to the dollar offer that the mayor announced in terms of making the lot adjacent to homeowners who had been there immediately available to them? Has that offer been extended to you, Carl?
No, nothing.
What about the lot on the other side of you, Carl? Didn't you try to get that one?
Yeah, on the other side we did, but they said it was not available.
It's not available. Well, who's got both of these lots?
But the land bank sold it to Develop Detroit.
Develop Detroit, a nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
Head by a woman that used to be the right-hand man of the emergency manager, right?
Right. Ain't nobody gave me no money for taking care of these lots and stuff, keep them cut and everything, you know?
And what about across the street? Your brother lives there, right?
My brother lives across the street.
He got lots on both sides of him, right?
Yeah, he's been facing the same thing. They always told him it wasn't available. He was trying to get that both sides for at least, well, I know, for like the last 3 years.
And so all of a sudden, like, nobody can get a lot because some connected developers in your neighborhood.
Right.
Well, let me...
All of a sudden now, to me, they just worry about their pockets, you know, regardless of what a person been doing to take care of this lot or help try to beautify his block as much as he can. You know, they don't care about it. Because I haven't received anything that said, hey, don't get this lot for $1 or $100. I've seen on the TV, now they're saying $100. But at the same time, I was still under the impression that my side lot, the one they're trying to take away from me, came with the house. It's on the deed. We went out to the Hall of Records yesterday. And it was in my grandmother's name, Betty Ross.
Now, in this whole time, look, basically they're running you off and don't want to make a deal with you because somebody that's connected is coming in.
Some developer wants it.
Is it like this all over the north end there? The neighbors?
Yeah, it's going on everywhere.
So there's it's boiling, ain't it?
Yeah, it's like a rehab because they're supposed to be doing 70 homes and commercial businesses up and down there and stuff. I mean, I don't mind you being on the building on the other side of me, but let me keep what you know what I'm saying, the rights are supposed to be mine.
And this whole, you know, that was Gilchrist building was the most famous building in Michigan for a whole week, right? You saw the news truck. Anybody stop to talk to you?
Nope.
Anybody stop to talk to your brother?
Nope.
Nobody in the neighborhood. So the neighbors, how real people, real Detroiters feel, no one bothered.
Nope.
Hmm.
And then, not that I know, I haven't seen the news truck up, but I heard it was out.
Say that again.
I said I heard it was out here, but I didn't see, you know what I'm saying, for saying myself. So I know that it was out here. My little brother didn't say it was out here.
Well, let me ask you something, Carl, if you don't mind. Can I ask you a couple personal questions?
Sure.
Okay. What color are you?
I'm black. African American.
What's your gender?
Male.
What's your political party? So you're a Democratic black man.
That's right.
Do you have a problem with me ringing up a Democratic black man running for lieutenant governor that got a shit house in your neighborhood?
Could you repeat that one more time?
Are you mad at me for ringing up on the news another Democratic black man who's running for a position of power because of the way you're being treated in your neighborhood? Do you find fault with what I did?
No. I mean, the truth is the truth. It is what it is. You know?
And not only that, my friend, look, I care about you.
Right.
I don't care about the fucking power. Power to the people.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? We should have our say so. We was down at the city county building. I mean, the city council meeting the day before yesterday, you know, voicing our opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Did you get some satisfaction down at City Hall?
Somewhat. They supposed to be checking into it and, you know, Miss Jeffrey, she don't like the way, you know what I'm saying, it's going down, and because, you know, my lot, like I said, was fenced off. It's been fenced off for years.
Who did you say didn't like it, Carl? I'm sorry. You said somebody who you called
Miss Jeffrey. Miss Jeffrey, now.
Okay.
You know, they like the fact that they're trying to do that, and I wasn't made aware, but, you know, it has been my property for years. It's been my mother, my grandmother's been property for years.
Well, get the fuck off. Get out. No. East Point's waiting for you, brother. We need that now. We need that now. Time for you to go.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's what they want to do, you know. But I ain't going nowhere.
Stay on it, though, Carl, because I'm telling you. It gets pushed through, you know, the bureaucracy, and they're going to check into it, and we're going to put it off for another meeting.
And we're going to give you a blight ticket, You can't fix cars in your backyard anymore because the yuppies don't like it.
And they'll shut it down.
You already figured it out, didn't you?
I already know, you know, but hey, I'm not with y'all, dude.
Do you think there's two Detroit? Look, it's good that some money's getting dumped into the city. You agree with that?
Yes, it is. 100%.
100%.
That's what I said. I don't have no problem with you trying to build houses and beautify the neighborhood, whether you want to make a park or a recreation center. I don't have no problem with that. Because the kids are not there. They need something. You know, they need something.
Yeah, and it's helpful to you and your property values. I mean, win-win-win, right?
Right, it's a win-win-win. So I don't have no problem with it. But don't just try to bulldoze me out the way. You know what I'm saying? A little piece of land that I, this great Detroit that I am proud to own.
But land is an asset, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, I think back to the Graymark issue over on the east side of Detroit. We owned 6 pieces of property over there at the time, and the city had no concern or anything about the people who had spent their lives there. So property is an asset. It's also been an asset that has been elusive for a lot of people of color. So if you own something, Carl, you have a right to own something, and you have a right to maintain that.
And hold on to it.
Oh, Carl knows, don't you, Carl?
Yeah.
Carl's the warrior. Like, don't think this is poor boo boo Carl.
No, I'm just
Carl's
I'm just
a fucking man. I love this guy. No, this guy's fighting. Not for anything. Not for I want a piece of speculative property. Leave my goddamn house alone, right, Carl?
Right. Yeah, that's the whole thing. Leave my peace of mind. You know, this is my peace of mind, my house.
Exactly.
My land. Somebody can walk into a smile every day.
I got a lot of people getting a hold of me going, it's a small issue, leave it alone. But within that blighted house of Gilchrist is a whole big thing. People like you.
It's about leave it alone at the same time. If it was y'all they was doing it to, you won't be saying leave it alone then.
All right, listen, brother, I got to let you go because...
And it's not just Carl.
No, it's Carl's a leader of a lot of thousands of people. Carl, the Attorney General is going to be calling in, so thanks for giving us a piece of your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, give me a little plug, man. Say no bullshit news. That's my show.
That's right. 100% real news. No good. You know?
I'll see you next week, man. All right, talk to you. Bye.
All right.
So,
but that's a big deal, though, Charlie. I mean, and that is the issue between the two Detroits. I mean, it is. You know, people who have held this city down and together for decades. Nobody is against progress, but it shouldn't be at their expense.
That's all nice. I don't like the bullshit.
Well,
I don't. I don't like the fact that the land bank took all the property, the fact that the feds are up their ass, the fact that the mayor tried to browbeat me with legal papers, the fact that nobody in media wants to follow it, only when the shit hits, and believe me, it's going to hit. Are we all going to pretend like we had something to do with it? Now I got to work for a broken down website. I'm only joking. Deadline Detroit. It's a little website, some broken down podcast. It's not really, you know, Drew's one of the biggest ones in the country.
We're not really broken down.
Charlie, what are you talking about?
You know what?
Thanks for
that. The media's following you, Charlie.
Well, look, we're a media concern. We care about everybody. I care about your grandma. I care about Carl. I care about Junior over here typing away. I do.
You know,
Joey?
You do, Charlie.
I do. It's our future.
You always have, though.
No story's too small. So, you know, hey, Gilchrist, I'm done with this one. Points made. But I take this as advice. Let the house go. Could you imagine how Trump's getting drilled for, like, you know, the family won't put it in blind trust. Well, here's a guy. It's a small level. It's a smaller level. It's like Trump's still building the Trump Mahal or some shit. While he's in office, there's no way this is possible. It can't be done. let me do this commercial before I take a quick break. Wait for the Attorney General. American Coney Island. First in, right? Last out. Our first advertiser. We got a bunch of advertisers now, don't we?
We got a new one coming next month.
Yeah, we got two of them, which is nice. But I'm really not about the money. But American Coney Island is, you know, it's friends. It's founded in 1917, 101 years old. The oldest family-run restaurant in Detroit, home and the creators of the original Detroit Coney Dog. That's chili, mustard, Vidalia onions.
Vidalia onions?
Yep. Proprietary. Delicious. They're really sausages. They're smoked sausages, actually. And the chili is their own company. Most other Coneys around get it from the same vendor.
Can I get a beer there?
Oh, you can get all kinds. Craft beer. You can get Bud Light.
Nice.
Atwater.
I like all those.
Yeah, it's a good, clean place. It's located downtown at Lafayette and Michigan Avenue. Open 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's been featured on the Today Show, Zimmer's List, Food Feuds, Food Wars. Won the best Coney Dog in Detroit many, many times. Can't come downtown, go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. They'll ship you kits. It's a great holiday gift. It's really... I help pack those.
And Grace is the best.
And Grace is the best. And so, American Coney Island, my favorite. Now, we get the gov on the line? Or?
Not yet.
Okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom, pour myself a little glass of that whiskey, and we'll be right back. I don't think, are we on there, Bob?
Hey, I'm on. Hey, Charlie.
How you doing? What am I calling you on the campaign trail? Mr. Attorney General, Bill?
You could call me the comeback kid. Bill Shooney is going to be the next governor in 18 days. So whatever you want to do, Bill's fine, Charlie.
Listen, well, here's what I'll do, sir. I will call you sir. And then
you don't need to do that. I'm not that let's not be that formal.
I respect the office, but see,
you call me Bill, I'll call you Charlie. Yes, I need to call you Mr. Liddell.
All right, Billy. Listen, first of all, let's get something straight. This Gilchrist house, I've never personally met you, and you've never met me. Is that correct?
But your reputation comes before you. You're a significant guy. So hi.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you for that.
That house of Gilchrist looks like one of the scenes from Halloween 2018. And you can't keep his personal affairs together, Garland Gilchrist. Makes these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-evangelical tweets and supportive tweets of Hamas, which is a terrorist organization.
That's true. I've seen that.
That is so extreme, way out of the mainstream. And that Gretchen Whitmer's first decision was to hire someone who has anti-Semitism and pro-Hamas sentiments. And it's outrageous. It's way, way out of the mainstream, very extreme.
Okay, now I want to throw this in. I invited Ms. Whitmer to appear on the show, and she won't be appearing anywhere talking to me until after the election, I'm told. So, but let me get this straight, Billy.
Why is that? What'd you do? Did you hurt somebody's feelings? What's up? What happened there?
I'm tough, Bill, so let me just make a point here, and then we'll get... I got to be tough to you. Now, first of all...
That's all right. You do your thing.
You never... Your people never call me on that story. That's my story that you happen to find out about, correct?
Well, listen,
Gilchrist,
we've been talking about Gilchrist for a long time, and the story in the Rotting House, you'll have to talk to my campaign and John Selleck. I agree with everything you're talking about. That's
right, but you guys never gave me the story. You didn't plan it, so okay.
Yeah, I don't, not to my knowledge.
Okay, now listen, you're behind in the polls, but here's...
No. I'm within about 4 points.
That will be behind.
But listen, there is a new poll that came out in the 8th Congressional District and the 11th Congressional District, and poll shows me ahead. So this race right now is a jump ball. I'm going to win this. And any Republican, Charlie, who runs for statewide office, you start behind. I'm the comeback kid. I've cut it. And now it's getting to be close to a jump ball. I'm going to win this, but I don't care what your name's. Ronald Reagan, John Engler, Donald Trump, or Bill Shute, you win on Election Day. And this can be razor thin, 51-49. We're going to win this race because Charlie, people want to go forward and build on the success of the last 8 years. They don't want to go backwards.
Okay, now here's what I did, because I actually circulate with real people. So here's how it goes. Here's you. Real simple, if you're going to pay me to be your consultant, which you'd have to pay me a lot to be your consultant. But listen, one, there's three things. One, you looked upon favorably. They know you for Flint and having the balls. Don't answer just yet. Two, they look at you unfavorably because they think you hate gays. So I'm going to ask you, do you hate gays? And three,
absolutely not.
Do you hate gays? Because the things you've done in office, that's the negative.
Should we talk about that right now?
Let's talk about that.
Okay, no, listen. Yeah. So listen here, Charlie.
Karen Dumas is here too, by the way.
Listen. My dad died when I was just a boy. I was 6 years old.
Mine took off when I was four.
And I was raised by my mom. My mom raised my two older sisters and me as a single mom. And she taught me, and so did my two older sisters, that you treat people like they're part of your family, and with dignity, grace, and respect in every fashion. And that's what I will do as governor.
Good. I thought you might say that.
But listen, man. I was asked, and I'm sure this is your question. What about the legal opinion I offered or I provided when asked by legislators concerning the Michigan Civil Rights Commission whether an unelected group of eight people could change the law? Well, an unelected group of eight people can't change the law. Laws can only be changed.
Explain what you're talking about. Explain what you're talking about.
Well, the Michigan Civil Rights Commission wanted to broaden the definition of Elliot Larson in terms of that statute. And I was asked by a legislator in my capacity as Attorney General to offer a legal opinion as to whether an unelected group of eight people can change the law.
Let me do this for the audience. It's basically the civil rights law in Michigan, you wrote, does not protect gay and transgender people from discrimination, and the Civil Rights Board decided to make its own determination that it does. You're saying that sex does not equal sexual orientation as the law is written. Correct.
As the law, Charlie. Here's the straight scoop. As the law is written, only the legislature can change the law. And the question was, could an unelected group of eight people change the law? The answer is no.
Do you want the law changed?
Here's my viewpoint. Here's my viewpoint on this. As governor, there's no place for discrimination in Michigan. Period. And Charlie, as governor, I will work with on any law, whether it's Elliot Larson or any other law, to make sure there's no discrimination in Michigan. And when I'm governor, there'll be no discrimination in Michigan, whether it's based on no discrimination on whether it's race, color, sexual orientation, gender, creed, religion. There'll be no discrimination in the state of Michigan. That's my position, Charlie.
That's a straight scoop.
Well, now listen, does that mean, make some news for me, Billy, does that mean that you are going to push to focus the law more to include people and their sex? Do I have a commitment from you to include people's sexual orientation as part of the umbrella of being protected, your civil rights? Yes or no?
Here's my position. And the fact is, Michigan needs to be a state that has diversity and inclusiveness. I want our state to grow. That's why I'm running for governor, to increase our population. And I'll work with the legislature on any law, whether it's Elliot Larson or anything else, so that there's no discrimination in Michigan. That's what I'll do. I'll work with the people in the legislature to make sure there's no discrimination, whether that's race, color, creed, gender, sexual orientation, religion, ethnicity, period.
Do you support personally people's right to marry and love whom they want? Do you support gay marriage?
That is settled law, yes, sir. That is settled law by the United States Supreme Court.
You fought it.
But do you support it? I know it's settled law.
Here's the point.
Are you cool with it? Listen, that's settled law. It's done. That's over. The Michigan Constitution had a provision. My job as Attorney General is to defend the law and defend the Constitution. That has been now settled by the United States Supreme Court, and that issue is done, settled, and honor and respect that decision by the United States Supreme Court.
Let me move on here to Flint. That's balls, because you took on your own party. You're the government taking on the government. It's become red hot. Where are we at with that, Billy? I mean, are we going to have a RICO? Are we going to have a RICO indictment before you're out of office?
Now listen, here's the issue on Flint. 12 people died, Charlie.
At least.
Thousands of kids were poisoned. And I took an oath twice as Attorney General in January of 2011 and January of 2015 to enforce the law. And I started an independent investigation to determine what laws, if any, were violated. And we've charged people. We've had those we've had convictions and pleas. And now the rest of this court... this is in the trial right now. I make no apologies for my doing my job in Flint. And there are some who view Flint as some chessboard or the deaths are some rounding error, in an urban city nonsense. It is about, Flint's about accountability. Flint's about justice. And Charlie, I know people in Flint to this day that only drink water from a plastic bottle and only wash their vegetables with water from a plastic bottle. That's wrong. That's what I'm doing in Flint, and these are real people.
Here's the thing.
A couple of weeks ago, the pastors felt they got gut punched by the state government. And as governor, I'm going to make sure that we rebuild confidence and faith in government, and we replace the fight.
If you're governor, are you going to see this through and let the investigation go where it needs to go? Are you going to push for the funding? Because listen, Bill, If we don't root it out now, these bloodsuckers, the thieves, the corrupt, will continue to flower and will never get right.
Well, listen, I'm going to do my job as Attorney General till you know, midnight on December 31st. We're going to get a new Attorney General. His name's going to be Tom Leonard. He'll do a great job. He'll make that decision. But until that time comes, you know, the trial's going on. We'll see how the judicial process works, and I'm just going to continue to do my job, period. Make no apologies for it whatsoever.
Bill, here's the other thing. That's okay. So, like, you don't hate gays, and...
No.
And
anybody who says that, you know, frankly, don't know me, don't want to. You know, what I don't do, Charlie, is pass judgment on people. I don't do that.
You're a prosecutor. Of course you pass judgment. That's what a prosecutor is. You mean personal judgment.
No, I'm talking about personal judgments about people.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been to a Christmas party.
Listen, that's not who I am. And those who want to know. Now, those who just want to lambaste me because of politics, you know, I can't solve any problem.
Now, here's the thing.
But you know what? I was taught by my mom and my two older sisters to treat people with dignity, respect, care, and I do.
Okay, now, here's how you're going to fix the roads. No, I'm going to tell you where you get the money. Snyder cut business tax $2 billion a year, right? Raised everybody's, the old people's pension tax, et cetera. Here's what we can do. Cut that tax cut in half. Let business have $1 billion a year. There's $1 billion that we don't need to borrow to fix the roads. What do you think of that?
You know what, Charlie, you're wrong, and I love you, but you're wrong. And here's the point.
How dare you? Know,
Michigan has to win again, and I'm running for governor because I want Michigan. I want our state to grow, and I want us to have more people and more jobs and bigger paychecks.
Right.
And we need to compete with other states across the country.
Yes.
And you look at the Carolinas and the Tennessees and the Texas and the Floridas and the Utahs. Their taxes are lower. Their regulations are fewer and less intrusive, and they have. Economies that are more enterprise oriented. I want to cut taxes in Michigan, eliminate the grand home or income tax.
How are we going to pay for the roads?
Well, listen. Now here's the point. And the point is, you know, the hand wringers out there who say you got to raise taxes, like Gretchen Whitmer's economic policies or an economic collapse plan, it's all about raising taxes. Her economic plans for growth are a three letter word, tax, T A X. And you know what?
It's very good.
I want to expand the economic pie, so to speak, in Michigan. I want us to grow our state because, listen, Charlie, if you want me to manage Michigan's decline, I'm not your guy.
I got you, Charlie. But listen,
I'm going to encourage our growth, and we need to.
This isn't local TV news, though, Bill. Like, where are you going to get the money?
Listen. We're going to grow our state. We're going to expand our state with growth, and listen. those other states that are growing faster than Michigan.
Yes.
You know, we had 19 members of Congress once. Now we have, after the next census, we're going to go down to 13. What does that tell you, Charlie? Other states are growing faster than we are, and we need to be a growth state. And if we don't cut taxes, we'll be a smaller, shrinking state. And it's Nancy State.
So you're saying supply-side economics.
Well, listen, I'm not doing trite phrases. I'm just saying we need to cut taxes, put more money back in the private sector. Gretchen Whitmer, she wants to raise taxes. She wants government-run health care. And how do you do that? Out of your taxes, Charlie, and everybody who's listening.
Well, I'm like, dude, I would just take that tax cut and cut it in half, and it's still a tax cut, and your business are paying. But that's okay.
I want us to keep growing jobs. I'm opposed to the pension tax. And,
okay, now, listen, this is the most animated I've ever heard you. This is nice. It's good.
I like it. Listen. I'm a scrappy guy. I find ways to win. I'm a pretty direct guy.
Okay, let me go like this then.
This is a choice between going forward or backwards.
Now, here's the thing, Bill. Here's the third thing.
All right.
People are like, I don't know. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I'm no bullshit news. People say he's wooden. There's something weird about the guy. He's like too practiced. Mm. So I think you've been misserved by that curmudgeonly, crusty old group up there that makes commercials and does your campaign stuff. I want to see if you can laugh, okay? So we've cut you up. There you go. We're going to use that as a drop. Here's one we made where you
I'm
can...
Not very fu-
I'm not very funny, but my wife doesn't think I'm very funny.
Here, we're going to play one that we just threw together like last night. Let me see you
how
laugh.
Much is this gonna, how much is it going to cost me? Because I pay a lot of money to some of these consultants. You may be, you're telling me you're available?
I tell you what we can do. Like, if you don't win, maybe we can open a shop. Right? You listen, got the connections.
I'm going to win.
How much do you spend on that?
Yeah, how much? How much?
I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get in the detail.
Oh, I'm just wondering because maybe I change jobs because we put this ad together for you.
Okay, we put
take a listen.
Let's hear your ad.
Okay, take a listen.
We got the lakes and we got the sun down in Michigan, Iowa. Come on in, you'll have a whole lot of fun down in Michigan, Iowa.
Shooty wants to be your governor, Michigan.
I will do anything you want.
He's tough.
This is a Planned Parenthood Democrat hit job on me.
He's tender.
I would be happy to move closer to the land.
He's classy.
Appreciate your spirit of Vincent Van Gogh, Rembrandt, Toulouse-Lautrec.
Don't believe what he's done as Attorney General. Believe what he says as Candidate Bill. And Bill loves the gays.
There's one system of justice, and it applies to everybody, no matter who you are, whether you're a big shot or no shot at all.
Del Schutte, a man of principle.
I will do anything you want. Some things I may not let you run the camera on.
Brought to you by the No Bullshit News Hour.
Charlie, that's... You know, Charlie, that's pretty funny. I got to tell you. Now, my wife doesn't think I'm very funny. And you know what? I think that is the funnier video is Garland Gilchrist's little shop of horrors over on Marsden Street. But that was pretty funny, Charlie.
Nice segue. See, that's the thing. Listen, Bill, I
give you credit for effort. That was pretty funny.
Thank you very much. See, because
you're welcome.
I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican, but. See, this is the thing. You got to be human. You got to let people know you're human, Bill.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Because now Gilchrist looks like the damn mannequin. See, you're a little warmer now.
Well, listen, I think maybe it's because I work on these legal issues, making sure I put Nassar behind bars. Maybe it's because I want to make sure I take our state forward. But, you know, sometimes I'm not funny, you know. But you know what? I'm working hard. I'm honest. And if you're not a Democrat or a Republican, you're telling me maybe I can get your vote. But I'm working on it. I've enjoyed this time today, Charlie.
Thank you very much for being on. And Dana Nessel in this Flint thing. Man, that's
well, listen.
Geez.
You take care.
Okay.
All right?
Talk to you, brother.
Bye-bye. Yep. Thanks. Okay, bud. Bye bye.
Well, good, Charlie.
He does have a pulse.
Thanks, Attorney General.
But he's a politician, and he sounds like one.
No, but he actually laughed. I think, yeah. Well, of course, yeah.
Well, he managed, listen, from a media perspective, he managed that very well. He did.
He did.
He managed it. So,
okay, so what did we learn? He doesn't hate gays. He just makes public policy that hates gays. And he's strong in Flint, and he can laugh. Is that what we've learned here? And
I think it was a chuckle.
What is this cutting more taxes? See, the Trump tax cut, right? The what was sold was it's going to create such an engine that we're going to create so many jobs and so much money that it's actually going to bring the deficit down. And it turns out...
Trickle down didn't work 40 years ago. It's not working today.
It turned out now we got a $750 billion budget deficit this year.
But he said he wants to build a population in the state of Michigan. That's the same thing that Mike Duggan said he wanted to do in Detroit, and it's not happening. I mean, what will attract and retain people here in Michigan? Beautiful state. I get that. But it has to be more. People aren't coming here in droves. They are actually leaving. Our population in the city of Detroit is declining. So it has to be more than rhetoric that's going to make that happen.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah on that. Like it's
no, no, she's right, though. No, but let's get to the real thing.
Hey,
let's
not
get
Bill Schutte.
Let's get to the real thing, though. Let's go to the real thing. Like, let's be specific. I've never heard of giving rich guys mega tax breaks to create industry that puts us all to work. That's America is made incrementally.
I've never had a rich guy give me money after he got a tax break. I don't get that. That shit don't roll down the hill.
Yeah, you see that shit with like the...
It doesn't.
With the hockey arena. Mm-hmm. You're getting like $700 million out of us after interest. when you promised us a Wrigleyville, the District Detroit. It's all train fucking station, parking lots.
Train station, $100 million.
Broke their word. They took the
money from the schools.
They took the watercolors that they promised us off their website. And now they're saying, we hope it organically grows. The bait and switch. And again, the media is the one that was carrying the watercolors around for them. And it takes a British magazine to come in here to point out the obvious. We got to do better.
People are distracted by the pretty and the shiny, and they don't look beyond that or look at the impact that it's going to
okay,
have.
Okay, but the billionaires figured that out.
Well, I
think, Why didn't the media figure that out?
I think the regular people want to believe that. They want to believe that there's going to be good things coming. And yeah, take some money from the schools. You know, we'll have them development. We'll have the District Detroit. They want to believe that. The fact of the matter is that shit don't come to fruition.
But Bob, how many times you hear a business bringing X number of jobs to Detroit? Not new jobs. Those are filled positions. So you're bringing people into the city. All these people aren't living in the city. Try leaving from downtown, going Lodge 75 North.
At 5:30.
At 5:30.
Yeah.
Everybody's still heading out of Dodge. Walk downtown if there's not an event. There are no people here.
Right.
That's incremental, though. Okay, there's things going on. But at what cost? That you have to do numbers. If you know, I don't want to be a cheerleader. It'd be much easier. It's got to have a good foundation. No, I don't think if we cut taxes, the roads are going to get built. How do you build them without money? It's only one way to get money. It's only one way to get money to build roads.
Increase revenue.
That's called everybody got to pay.
Yeah.
Period. Now, what he didn't want to talk about, remember, Dana Nessel was going to be on last week, right? But she was ill. Do you got that clip there, Bob, of her guy?
What her spokesman said to us?
Yeah, just in case people didn't hear last week. So the front runner for Attorney General to take Bill Schuette's, Barnacle Billy's job was going to come on because she's making gestures.
Had made plans with us to be on.
Yes. Is making overtures. Like she's going to stop the Flint thing, dig through it, check it out. Maybe get rid of some of the indictments, maybe put her own people in there. So what this basically does is, like, if you took Mueller out and put in Jason, the whole thing would be dead. That's the basic question.
Oh, it kills the investigation.
Right, so.
And I would say she canceled the 11th hour, but it was the 12th hour.
It was, 12
hour. Right now, are you okay to do this tomorrow? Is that possible?
Hi, Todd. Bro, hold on here. Uh-huh. Okay, what'd you say? Oh, wait, I got you on air right now. Okay, that's cool.
Okay,
go ahead.
Sure, she called me at 1:20 and said she can't hop on right now. Are you okay to do this tomorrow? Is that possible?
I thought we had an agreement.
I totally understand, and we totally did. You just let me know that you can't hop on at this moment in time. She's been feeling under the weather, and I think she might not be.
She's under the weather.
On air right now.
She knows we don't film on set or record
us. Shady. 3 weeks to election, that's tough.
All right, Bob, look. So, she's under the weather. Here she is 4 hours later in Dearborn, having an electric evening, according to Twitter.
Shouldn't have to speak after Abdul. But it's literally the dumbest thing that you can do.
It's a miracle.
She looks great.
It's a miracle.
Everybody who's here.
So fuck off on Facebook when you're saying, hey, man, you're all mad at her because she won't answer your Flint question. Give her a break. Even, you know, politicians get sick. It's called a fucking Dodge. She didn't lie to me. I don't care. I go on. Hey, dude, she lied to you. She lied to you.
And didn't answer any questions.
Hey, how about this? You want to know what? You want to know what they're saying about Flint and her position on it? Hold on a second.
That's on Charlie. That's your
fault.
Yeah,
that's all right. I mean, dude, I'm non-traditional. I don't like to hang up media structured crap. It's boring. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about her and what she's done with this overture about Flint. You might be obstructing justice, madam. Think about what you've done. There are people up there cooperating. Jerry Ambrose, the emergency manager, is making a decision as to how much he wants to cooperate. And yet, when you say, whoa, 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 hold on, everything freezes. Everything stops. It was a dumb political play. Now, if you want to make fun of Bill, and there's a lot to make fun of, believe me there, you get political and you don't say anything about that. Let them do their work. Could you imagine if Trump actually did open an investigation on Hillary or did shut down Mueller? To me, it's at that level, because for that job at this moment, Flint is the deal. You are not forgotten, Flint, because it's happening to Detroit school children. As one goes, we all go.
I just think everything is a can kicker. You know, you talked about, you know, if somebody else comes in, they've got to do their own investigation. They're going to start all over. That's going to prolong things.
It's dead.
And it's politics. It's process. It's
bullshit. So, Karen, like you just said, it's politics. It means it stops. Are Flint people really pawns in politics?
They shouldn't be, but they become such.
Where are the financiers in this? If we don't wrap some skulls together, it happens to our kids or our grandkids. Because Flint in 1960 had a big scandal over the water and real estate bullshit underneath, right? Everybody buying property they knew it was going to be worth a lot of money. That's why. I just remember all the cold nights in Flint. I remember the cold babies in the sinks. The women crying. Not being able to sell your house. Rashes. All of it. How much? Where's the commitment? And again, I've never belonged to a political party. I'm just be honest with you. I voted for Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama twice. And neither Trump nor Clinton. I just go with the best thing that's in front of me. Right today that I think's best. This is not about Democratic or Republican, black or white, male or female. You know, I'm trying to get through and love everybody. I'm just pissed. Which, to add to my sadness, is death of a very good friend, Detroit legend, Mike Clark.
Part of the family.
Drew and Mike. I mean, is there a Radio Hall of Fame here? Are they in the Radio Hall of Fame?
Remember, Drew talked about that a couple weeks ago. You were asking him the same thing. This was before Mike passed, whether or not he was in the Hall of Fame, the Michigan Hall of Fame, Broadcast Hall of Fame, because he and Mike were certainly, they should be.
Are they? No.
He said no.
No. It's bullshit. Oh, by the way, there's a...
Damn bullshit. You can't be there's a national, for 20 years.
Yeah. In a big-ass market, right? It was big when they were number one. And
still,
they were funny.
A big radio market.
Howard Stern was talking about them the other day. Howard knows who they are. Legends.
Yeah.
So how about, you know, respecting them like they respected us?
Well, and there was an outpouring of love for Mike, you know, when everybody learned. But doesn't get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. I think... This, look, Mike can't talk to you, but he did. And I think this was I was sitting in on the, when he called into Drew and Mark's and Trudy's and everybody's show. And here's what he had to say to you, the audience, the people he kept warm on cold mornings, you know, kept you entertained in his boring, blighted Michigan winters, you know, made it easier. This is what he had to say to you. And he really loved Jimi Hendrix. So I'm just going to say, goodbye, thanks, try to do better, try to respect one another, and mostly yourself, and, you know, God bless you, Mike Clark.
And once again, thanks to all the listeners out there, thanks to everybody on Facebook, podcast, all the fans, all the people, really great. People have been so good to me, and our show, and us, and everything else. It's just overwhelming. We have a lot of beautiful people out there, beautiful fans. And
the music's playing, Mike.
All right.
Yeah,
all right, boys.
They'll love it when this is posted. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, you guys. I'll talk to you down the road.
Love you, brothers. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I forgot this song's called Flint. Bye.
My brother. Oh, Drew's at the proctologist.
See ya. God!
to my brain. Lately things, they don't seem the same. Acting funny, but I don't know why. Excuse me while I kiss the sky.